this privilege and this opportunity that we have to be in this room tonight or today. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that somehow that every person here, if there's something hindering their mind, move that from their mind, that they'll be able to receive. And let the oil of the Holy Ghost just go right down into their hearts and minister to them wherever they need ministry to. Let me speak the words you want me to speak, not necessarily what I have planned to say. So I pray, Lord, that the people that would be watching with us, that you would bless them and minister to them as well. So, Father, open hearts, open minds. Let your anointing flow to them, in them. And I pray, Lord, they will be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, you know, any time that I speak, it's my desire to bring value to you, not just preach a message. You know, obviously I love preaching, but I don't want to just make myself feel good because I feel like I've preached. I want to have something to say that will benefit you later after the service, that will benefit you as you go through the rest of your life, so that the rest of your life can be the best of your life. Everybody just say, I believe the rest of my life is the best of my life. You know, I'm doing a series and doing some things at home right now, and I'm talking about age. And, you know, I was talking about when is the prime of your life? That's not what I'm going to talk about this morning, but when is the prime of your life? Some people think it's when you're 21, some think it's 30, and some think when you're 40. Oh, Lordy, she or he's 40. You know, I remember at my 40th birthday party, they had all them black signs and said all of that. But you know what? If I was 40 now and they was doing that, knowing what I know now, I would tear all those signs up and say, that's a lie of the devil. My life is just beginning at 40. Now here I am. I was born in 1943. So anyway, my wife's not listening. She's preaching right now. So, you know, so anyway, I can maybe tell my age and get by with it. But anyway, you already know it. So it's I give you the birth date. I mean, you're smart. You're quick. But anyway, you know, I don't feel I have reached my prime yet. I've been privileged. You know, I look back and boy, when I say that in some of the awesome meetings we've had around the world, you know, and the crowds of people and the thousands that's come give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. And some of the things that I've done, I don't plan on doing anymore in my life, but there's some things that I plan on doing more in my life. So I want you to know, whoever you are, you know, John was 92 when he got the revelation. The book of Revelation, he was 92 when he was on the Isle of Patmos, when he was a prisoner, when Domitian had sent him there and put him with the vile criminals. So I don't want you to think tonight that because, and you know, Charles Green was here the night that you were here, Brother John, he was here celebrating with us. Charles Green is 92 years of age and still travels all over on the airplane by himself, preaching the gospel. I just got a shot of Romans 8 and 11. Romans 8 and 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth with... No, I got another shot. I just got another shot. Whoops, I feel another shot coming on. Now, Don, you just calm down here. You got to preach. Wow. Glory to God. You know, the Bible tells us, this is not my text, but the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, it says, Jesus, God was, the Bible was talking to the children of Israel, and he said to them, I set before you life and death. He said to them, you can choose to live life or you can choose death. What are you going to choose? Well, this morning, I'm going to talk to you a few minutes about doing life with God. Doing life with God. That may be an unusual title for you, but when you're born again, you know, let me go back. If you're here watching somewhere in the world, you know, you may have started off in life with a bad example. Maybe did you know there's 32,000 people in Texas that's in foster care? 32,000 that we know of that's in foster care. 24 million people here in the United States that have grown up without a father image in their life. Many more million do have their father's presence, but they're not there emotionally. So can you imagine the effect this is having on the population when people have no image of a father and they feel unloved and they feel rejected? And so it has caused so much dysfunction in our world today. There is literally so much dysfunction it's just sometimes mind-boggling what goes on in people's minds because they had no influential person that was strong enough to give them the guidance that they needed. We're grateful for all the wonderful people that have. So if you have and you didn't have a father image, today I want to help introduce you to a father that will love you even though your own may have abandoned you, your mother may abandon you, but one thing about it, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll go with you to the end of the world. Now, I know that's easy for me to say to you, but I know enough people that have gone through the abandoned, that has been sexually abused, emotionally and physically abused, but found Jesus, and when they found Jesus, they learned to live with God, and they never had anybody to replace what they lost in life, but God restored them and made them better so that they could help multitudes of people today. So even if you're there, don't be bitter about what happened to you. Don't let what happened to you happen in you. Realize that you can change your insides through the Word of God. Now, have you ever thought about this, that once you're born again, you can then begin to live with God, not live for God? There's a difference in living with God and for God. You know, this, the 31st of this month, I'll be married to my beautiful and wonderful, lovely wife. March the 31st, we will have been married 56 years. 56 years. Now, this very moment, while I'm speaking, she is preaching right now, and while I'm sitting down on the front row, you forgive me, but I peeped at her just a little bit on the internet to make sure that everything was okay, you know. And so I'm sharing that to show you how we can multitask in God. And many people don't realize that, but I was just peeping there a little bit, and I didn't tell people on the internet I would be here because I wanted them to watch her instead of me. Anyway, living for God is how many people get distracted because they live for God instead of living with God. I live with my wife, not for her. I do things for her, and she does things for me because we live together. Now, we're married. We were married in Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada. My wife was a Canadian, and so we got married in Canada, and we are legally married, have been for almost 56 years. But when I saw this woman, you know, I was up preaching. She was 17 years old, had the Jackie Kennedy. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. But she had the Jackie Kennedy hairstyle. You know, back in those days, they combed their hair backwards and piled it up. And she was an Italian, beautiful black hair. And then they just smoothed it out. They don't do that this day and time. But you know what? I was preaching, and I was looking at her, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. And of course, you know, I was just awestruck by this beautiful girl. Of course, I was only 19. But I was awestruck by her. And I finally got her attention one day, and we got married. And it lasted. It worked. I won't go into the whole details. But I just want you to know that we learned to live together. We didn't know how at first because she was an Italian. She had one type of food that she liked. I was from Tennessee, and I was this close to being a redneck. Maybe I was that much out of being a redneck. I don't know, but you know, my life expanded, and I want to help expand your life today. I hope I get time to talk about this. I didn't plan to do this right at the beginning, but I want to talk about how our life expanded when we came together and she began to share her culture with me. You know, her parents and grandparents came from Italy, and they came through Ellis Island in New York, and they didn't like the state, so they moved to Canada. And anyway, while I was preaching in that church is where I was so awestruck by her. You know, I preached to her the whole night, my first time there, you know. It's a long story. But we traveled in the same car. We still do. We ride in the same car. We sleep in the same bed. We eat at the same table. We go shopping together. And even sometimes, every now and then, I sit down and we watch television together. You watch television? If it's okay to watch. You know, I got God living in me, and I'm living in Him. We're living in Him. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. So if I'm living with God, I don't want to be watching something on television where somebody is using bad language. You know, I had a minister to say to me one time, he said, you know, you ought to go see so-and-so movie. I said, really? He said, yeah, it's got a lot of bad language in it, but you can get through that. No, I can't. I'm not paying for someone to cuss at me. You said, well, they're not cussing at you. Well, same thing to me. If you're going to cuss, I don't want to hear you cussing. I want to hear you talking about life. I don't want to hear you talking about death. Is anybody with me? See, you know, when something happens, you know, probably when I go home and we meet together, you know what she's going to do? She's going to talk to me about the service. She's going to tell me, you know, things that happened in the service. Well, when I get there, I'm going to tell her about you wonderful people here, how I took so long in my introduction anyway. We talk to each other. Sometimes I'm out, and you know, I'll meet someone. And then I come home, and I tell her, you know, I was at the mall, or I was here, and I met. And I'll tell her who I met. And vice versa. She'll do the same thing for me. Why? We live together. Now, I'm going somewhere, so just hang in here with me. See, we're a part of each other's life. And as long as we live, whichever one, if Jesus doesn't come first, whichever one goes first, you know, we will be together. We're going to be together. That's a commitment we made when we got married and we were kids. Some of you have heard me tell this, but it bears repeating again. I like to hear the story myself. So I'll bless me at the moment if it doesn't bless you. In Niagara Falls, no, we were in Buffalo, New York. We left Niagara Falls, stopped in Buffalo, New York, and knelt down beside the bed in the hotel room. And first thing we did was knelt down, prayed together that we'll always love God, we'll always love each other, and we'll always be a tither and giver. Well, all three of those have sure been tested. But I'm here to tell you, 56 years later, we got through them all. We've kept them all. Is anybody here with me? Now, my wife and I, we communicate. We talk. You know, some people are married, but they don't talk. So they can't understand my message today. You don't have to be married to understand my message, because whoever you are, you should be living with God if you're born again. Because He lives inside of you. Now, I'm going to get somewhere. Just hang on here with me. See, I don't have a set time that I talk to Sharon. Her name's Sharon. I don't have a set time that I talk to Sharon. I don't say, well, I'm going to talk to you at 7 o'clock this morning, and we'll talk for 15 minutes, and then I'm going to get up and go about my day, and you go about yours and busy, and so I ain't going to have anything else to say to you. I'm going to come home tonight, and we'll sleep in the same bed, but I'm not going to talk to you when we go to bed. I'll talk to you at 7 o'clock in the morning. You say, well, why would you do that? Why would you do that to God? Why would you do that to God? Why would you have a little devotion? Why would you have a little devotion with God, which I encourage you to do, but then you're done with Him for the rest of the day because you've got to go to work? Well, you know, any time at work you can talk to God and nobody else knows what you're doing. Somebody here with me? Yes. Now, my prayer for you today is that somehow I can encourage you to have a better relationship with God, to where God is not something that you're living for Him, but you're saying, we're together, we're one. One faith, one Lord, one Spirit, one baptism. Amen? See, always, it's my prayer, and it is mine, for you and for me, to always become more aware of the presence of God. I forgot to start my clock, so can I just start right now? I'll be good. See, I desire seriously to always be growing in my relationship with God. I want to be more conscious of when His voice is speaking to me. I want that for you. I want you to listen this morning, that you would learn to hear His voice. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. You know, it's really important to know the voice of God. I want my relationships with people. You know, just because I'm mature, I don't call myself old. You may, but I'm older than I was, but I'm not old. I went to the store the other day, and my wife said to me, now notice, she told me she wanted a certain kind of cheese, and she said, get the aged one. The cheese is better when it's aged. You know, my wife is Italian, so we're into balsamic vinegar and olive oils and all of this, but my wife is always looking for aged balsamic vinegar. She'll see these specialty stores of vinegar, and she wants to go in there. Stores of olive oil that are aged. She doesn't go in there looking for old olive oil. She didn't go in there looking for old balsamic vinegar. She didn't tell me, buy old cheese. You know, it gets old when you take the wrapper off and you leave it unwrapped. It's old. You know, I don't want that. It tastes terrible. Boy, you get aged cheese and the little crackers, I'll tell you one thing. Woo, you can have yourself a nice party. So remember, aged, we should. This is not my message this morning. I'm getting off course here. Anyway, one of the things that I do pray, though, in my years, that as I finish, you know, Dr. Stumbo and me, we're really young men, you know. Dr. Stumbo just retired a few months ago, and he's probably busier now that he retired than he was when he was a veterinarian, you know, when he's a doctor. But anyway, see, I don't think about retiring. I'm not against you that do. That just gives you opportunity to do more for God when you retire from your job. Well, this is not a job to me. This is my life. Brother John, it's not a job to you. It's your life. See, my life is living with God and saying, come on over and have a visit with us. Come on over and let's chat a little bit. We got something to talk about. We got something good to say. We got something good to give you. And you know, one of the things I pray for you and I pray for myself, at this point in my life, you know, some people think because they're limited in income, they can't tithe, they can't give. But at my age, I'm praying, Lord, let me have more seed to sow than I've ever sowed in my life. Oh, thank you for your enthusiasm. See, some people say, well, our income's not the same. God's the same. You live in the same realm of the Spirit. God has not left you because your lifestyle has. See, when you're living with God, listen to what I'm about to say. When you're living with God, you don't have to let your present conditions determine your future. You don't have to let your present circumstances determine your future. Are you with me? See, some people let what's happening to them, they become that. You know, have you ever noticed reading, is it Mark chapter 10, I believe it is, where Jesus ministered to Bartimaeus? But how did the Bible refer to him? He was branded. He was branded as blind Bartimaeus. See, his condition, he was branded by his condition. He was named by his condition. So how many times God's living in us, but what's happening to us, we become more conscious of what's happening to us than who lives in us. We're emotional beings and we're physical. We have physical bodies and there's times of emotional pain, physical pain and things that happen. But what we have to understand, if we will be conscious of the goodness of God inside of us, as I'm getting to, and I may have to finish this tonight and get into my chair later, but I'm telling you, this is something I want you to really think about. I see people that call themselves Christians, and I hear them have words coming out of their mouth and have so much anger, unforgiveness, and strife, and drama come out from among the world, and be ye separate. For what fellowship has light with darkness? What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? So when you're made to be the righteousness of God, there should be a mind change. There's a heart change. There's a spirit change. Everything inside of us changed. So we need to consciously begin to renew our mind and unconsciously renew our subconscious. So when we renew our subconscious, instead of reacting from a negative standpoint or from an angry standpoint, that anger has been removed by renewing your mind that God lives in you. You're not living for Him, you're living with Him. Have I ever been angry at my wife? A few times. Do I yell at her? No. Has my wife ever been angry at me? Oh, yeah. But you know what? We don't stay angry. See, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. So that doesn't, when you're angry, that doesn't use all of these words. I mean, I could give you the letters of some of them, but you don't want to hear that. You already know what I'm talking about. I was talking to a Christian the other day, and we're just chatting. And that, I mean, we're just going along, just smooth, just talking about stuff. All at once, that F word, it just flowed right out. And I I didn't hear a thing else the person said. I didn't stay there long either. And this person speaks in tongues. See, I'm telling you, some people live for God. Some people live with God. When you live with God, you want to make sure your thoughts. How many times do I say to myself, if it's not criteria for thought, it's not criteria for talk. If it's not good to think, it's not good to talk. So if it's not good to think, it's not good for God. God doesn't and can't be a part of something that's not good because God is good. Anybody with me? See, I pray that as you learn to grow with your relationship with God, you'll be more generous, more loving, be kinder, show and express compassion, show gratitude, not just to God, but to people. Some people say, well, I love God, but I don't love people. No way. I think a little of that redneck's about to come out here. Ain't gonna happen. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. But I just can't love her. I just can't love him. That's not what the Bible said. Love your neighbor as yourself. But you don't know what they did, no? But Jesus, we know through the Bible what they did to him. And he on the cross said, Lord, forgive them because they don't know what to do. When Stephen was being stoned, he said, Lord, forgive them. See, many people really struggle with these issues that I'm talking about today. And I'm not talking about just young people. I'm talking about people that are of age. They struggle with these issues that I'm talking about today because they don't live with God. They separate themselves. God's God. I'm this person. No, you bring God into your life and he lives through you. And then one of the ways you serve God is how you treat other people. People say, well, I serve God, not man. Well, you're going to have to serve man if you love God. You're going to serve him because you want to serve him. So you just, you know, and just like I had this person call me up and they said, I mean, you know, they were well-known, very well-known person. They said, could you get me some speaking engagements? You know, it's just kind of difficult now. I've got a little age on me. Can you get me some speaking engagements? But I don't want nothing to do with people. I just want to come in and teach and leave. So, I can understand there's times. I come in today, but I got into a detour, and I didn't know the detour was there. And so I had to go around and way around. And so it cost me a few minutes to be late this morning on 121. They had it all closed off. And so things happen in our life, folks. But I didn't start getting frantic and using bad words at those rogue people. Because the main thoroughfare of 121 was closed off. I didn't, you know, or 114, whichever it is, they both, you know. But I didn't get angry. I didn't get mad. I didn't get upset. I just said, I'm just going to be a few minutes late. See, some people, they don't know how to live in the moment without allowing anger or something to take them over. Things are going to happen, folks. Things are going to happen. Somebody said, there you go, open the door with your mouth. No, I'm just being wise enough to tell you to be aware. God's in there to help you when the things happen. Amen. Show and express gratitude to God and to others. And say, Lord, I want my faith to grow in you more and more. I want my faith to grow. And I mentioned this, be a tither even if you're on a limited income. See, some people think because they're on a limited income, they're on a limited income that they can't tithe. Well, the Bible didn't say, you know, tithing is for you that can afford it. Didn't say that. Didn't single any of us out. Put us all in the same category. See, if you love God and you're living with God, then you want to participate with God. And tithing is one of the ways you participate with God. You know, my wife, she sometimes just really gets me. You know, sometimes I'll see something on her and it'll be beautiful. I said, boy, that's pretty. Where'd you get that? She said, I've had it. I said, you had it? She may have had it for 24 hours. She may have had it for 12. But she had it. I said, oh, come on now. How long you had that? Where'd you get it? It's beautiful. I don't care. I don't care if that's what you wanted. It looks good on you, babe. Looks good on you. She was wearing something day before. She went, oh, I got this on sale. I said, why do you always have to tell me you got it on sale? Because I know if you'd have wanted that, you'd have got it. Well, no, it was on sale. Well, okay. And she was holding it up. Then she went in, she came back. She said, what do you think? I said, I love it, but I love what's in it better than what I love the blouse. Well, you know, that got me a kiss. See, give gratitude to people, not just your spouse. But see, I live with her. So I share with her. I didn't say, go take that back. You didn't ask me if you could get that. You know, she'll go grocery stops shopping sometimes and she'll be getting the stuff out of the basket. And I'm saying, what do we need with that? But you know what? I just smile real big and say, oh, that's nice, babe. That's nice. That's nice. I don't tell her to take it back. How much did you spend? You said, well, y'all got plenty. Oh, you mind your own business now. You don't know whether we do or not, but that's not the point. The point is, she wants to buy. She said, I thought you would like this. I said, oh, you did. The point is, we live together. I want her to look nice, to have something to eat, you know. Why is it when we come to God, we can't have this same attitude? God, I want to give. When Brother Dan was talking about the offering, whoo, I've just got a blessing there. When he was talking about the offering this morning, I wasn't wishing he would hurry up and quit talking about that. I wasn't saying that's not necessary. I was being blessed, and I had my check made out before I left home. I wanted to give God something this morning. Not my church, but I wanted to give God something. Amen? And you know, anytime offerings come, they don't go to us personally. They go to the ministry because, you know, we just are into helping people. Amen. I love helping people. Be a giver. Be positive. Now listen to this. You can't live a faith-filled life and have a negative mind. You can't live a faith-filled life with a negative mind. Now, one of the things I want to be better at, as I told you, is being aware of God's presence no matter where I am or what I'm doing. I want to be better. I hope you do. And if we want to be better, it's up to us to make it happen. God won't just do it. We got to make it happen by giving ourselves to Him. See, I pray that you won't just give a part of yourself to the Lord, but you'll give all of yourself to the Lord. Is anybody here this morning? The scripture says in Psalms 84, verses 1 and 2, it says, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts." Now listen what David said. He said, "My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, cry out for the living God." See, he said, "How lovely is your tabernacle." Well, why was he referring to the tabernacle? Well, back in the Old Testament, obviously, people individually didn't have a relationship with God like we do. They had to go through the prophet or the priest. They had to go to the temple and had to go through the sacrifices. So at the sacrifices, the presence of God would come down in the Holy of Holies. So they wanted to go to the temple. They wanted to go where sacrifices would be made so they could be near the presence of God. Well, we have the presence of God in us now, so we don't have to do that. Aren't you glad we don't have to have all that blood? Take all them animals and slay them? So let me just go a step further here. We don't have to go to church to experience God. Now, don't say, just hold on, let me finish. I'm not going to preach against church. I am a pastor. But we don't have to go to a church or a temple to experience God's presence, because God lives inside of us. Once we're born again, of course. Now, everyone should have a church and you should have a pastor. You at home, if you couldn't get here and you're watching, but if you could be here and you didn't, come tonight. Of course, you know, on ours, we have people watching us all over the world on ours. But again, I didn't tell people I was here. The thing of it is, we can experience God's presence at home, in our cars, at work, wherever we are, if we're conscious that we're living with God. Are you here? See, everyone should have a pastor. The Bible said, again, I said it a few minutes ago, "My sheep know my voice and a stranger will not follow." You know, I've got a, well, Pastor Bob, now, Bill Knotts from Australia, is a good friend of ours. I've preached in his church a number of times. And he and his wife stayed in their home a number of times. And Pastor Bill Knotts has talked about how he was brought up in New Zealand and how he used to be a shepherd. And he told me some wonderful stories. And you know, one of the stories is like a number of the shepherds would come together for lunch, and they would bring their flock in, and they would all mix together. But when lunch was over and the shepherd got ready to leave, he would make a sound or speak, and when he did, only his sheep, only the sheep that he was shepherd, would do anything. The rest would keep on doing what they were doing, but the ones that they recognized his voice got up and followed him. The next shepherd had his sound or his voice, and the rest didn't move, didn't do anything, but the ones that were a part of his sheepfold got up and followed him. And on and on and on till each one was gone, and when each one was gone, the last one, when they didn't leave because the other sheep were leaving, they didn't follow them, they followed the voice of the shepherd. Isn't it a shame the day we live in where many people follow sheep instead of the shepherd? It's such a shame to see what happens in the church world today, that so many people are following people rather than following the voice of the Lord. See, I believe in the church, and he said in Psalms 84 and 11, he said, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper at the house of God than dwell in tents of wickedness." Wow. I want to be in the presence of God. You know, when I got to the roadblock, and evidently I didn't see it beforehand, so it caused me to have to go extra. I just prayed in the Holy Ghost. After I got through and got back on and got through around the detour and on my way here, I knew it was going to be a little bit late, but I just talked to God. I didn't care what somebody might come up beside me and see my mouth moving, what they might think. I was talking to God. Amen. Is anybody here with me? Yes. See, I get up in the mornings and I pray. And sometimes I don't pray as long as I do others. But I do spend time in prayer. But when I'm in that prayer time, I don't compartmentalize my prayer time and my devotion time to those few minutes or hour, whatever, hour and a half, whatever time. See, some people come, what did I just say? What? Anyway, y'all heard me this first time. Compartmentalize. They put God in a compartment. I can say it that way. To a certain time of the day, they just give God that, and then the doors close, and I got to go to work now, and I got to be with sinful people or people that's this or people that's that. And no, God's still there wherever you go to work. And somebody could say something, and under your breath, you could just say, "Bread, shake, cover him, and next, say, Lamonts, and da boca, satiri, because supper of Batosa, yeah, but a batai." I was down in Houston coming home and to the airport, and you know, there's a bunch of people there got mad at about something, and they were just saying real vile words. And I'm next in line, so I just start saying, "I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord." And they got a little louder, and I said, "I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. Wonderful, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus." And they got louder. I got louder. Somebody, I guess, thought I was talking in a foreign language, I guess. I don't know. But I had a different expression on my face than they did. I had a smile on my face, and I had a glow in my eyes. And a little while, boy, I mean, they hushed up, and they got up. And I walked up to the ticket counter, and the woman said, "I don't know what language you were talking in, but I'm telling you, they didn't like it." She said, "Thank you. Whatever language you speak," she said, "that's all right with me." And she said, "I noticed you wasn't angry talking that language." She said, "You had a smile on your face." I said, "I was just talking to God." She said, "What?" I said, "I was just talking to God." And she looked around. She said, "Where?" I said, he's in me. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Amen. You know, we live in a subdivision. It's kind of crazy. The guy built the subdivision. He doesn't like mailboxes on the road. So we have mailboxes in our on our porch or on our house. And so it's crazy. And so we don't get our mail directly from the post office. This man that built this subdivision created his own independent post office. So when people mail me anything, it goes to the post office, and then the post office delivers it to this place. And then they hire independent people and pay them by the hour. Well, you know, it changes quite often because it's independent, and obviously I'm sure they're not paying them what the post office staff gets paid. But, you know, every now and then when one of them comes, you know, my wife would have some extra little goodies or something she would bought. Not something been picked over now. I mean, we wouldn't do that. But something that's fresh and new and like, you know, chocolate-covered strawberries or something, you know. And just different things like that. And sometimes we can see them coming, and she'll go out and get something and give to them. And when they do it, they just smile and say, thank you, ma'am. And the other day, my wife was out for a walk, and she saw him, and all at once she went back, and she come out, and the guy said, did I do something wrong? Did I do something wrong? She said, no, I just have a gift for you. He said, oh, ma'am, I'm not expecting. She said, we just want to bless you. God lives with you. He just wants to bless you. I'm just about having to finish. I enjoy talking about this. Better is one day with God than any other kind of day elsewhere. Better is one day with God than any other kind of day. And you know, living with God is a better day than any day you could ever have without God. Is that right? You know, I hear a lot of people, and sometimes myself, God gives me particular words for a year or something this year. But you know, none of those words are going to come to pass in our life unless we believe them, expect them, and work towards it. So I'm talking to you this morning. You can hear me in the ear and go out the other one, or else you can say, Lord, I do want to have that revelation that I'm living with you. And when I go out, if I'm at a restaurant, I'm going to tip good today. I'm living with God, so if I'm going to go, I'm going to tip good today. I didn't get an amen. You know, my son started out as servers. My grandson just finished UT, and he was a server for a number of years. Now got a great job right here in Fort Worth. I mean, his professor, he made such high grades, the professor recommended him to a company here in Fort Worth, and they hired him at a salary. My God, yeah, I'm just saying. he was at church last Sunday, and he was saying something, and he just got a bonus. I said, you only been there 6 months. He said, yeah. And he said, I got a raise too, Papa. I don't know why I brought that up. I was going somewhere. Anyway, how in the world did I get off track talking about my grandson? God gives us words and he gives us things, but we've got to apply it. It doesn't happen it because somebody prophesied it. Just because somebody prophesies something to you. Now, a day with God is better no matter what's going on in your life. And Philippians 4 and 7 says you can have the peace of God that goes beyond your understanding. This just told me I was done. You want me to listen to this, or you want me to give you two or three more minutes to finish? Oh, my goodness. Folks, I just love the Lord. I just love being with God. I love being with you this morning. I really do. I love being with you this morning. You know, in today's vernacular, 1 Peter 2 and 3, chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says, do you want more and more of God's kindness and peace? Then learn how to know Him better and better. Learn how to know Him better and better. I told you, my wife and I, when we first got married, she's Italian, did all these Italian stuff. And she had was raised with Italian food. Well, let me just tell you a little redneck story. I was preaching early in my life, and my friend and I, we had a meeting, and we wound up in Tupelo, Mississippi, and we ran out of meetings. And so we were fortunate enough to have a friend we were staying with, and he's the one that got us into the church in Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada, where I met my wife. And it was an Italian church, and they had the Italian service, then they had the English service. And a lot of people went there. And then the pastor said, and my friend was just as redneck as I was, because he was born in Louisiana and moved to Florida. And so both of us was just as redneck as we could be. I mean, I was raised on cornbread, beans, more beans and more beans and more beans, corn, tomatoes, turnip greens, collard greens, spinach. You know, I didn't know there was a breast on the chicken until I was 15, because all my brothers and sisters got everything before I got there. I thought there was, I knew it had necks and backs, but. So I'm telling you, we had hamburgers and so. The only spaghetti we had was Chef Boyardee. And so I didn't know anything about Italian food or anything. And so anyway, we were up in Canada, and the pastor invited my friend and I over to the house, and they had a beautiful home, but they had five children. And there was all kind of stair steps, you know, and we smelt this awful smell. Now, you got to broaden your, remember I said I'll come back to it. We got to broaden our life. God will help you broaden your life. But sometimes people live in such a small world. They just stay where they are and realize, I can't, you can do it. You can do it. God, if you study the Word of God will open to you. And see, God connected us to the right place. God connected us to the right place. Well, we smelled this awful smell. And he told us, he said, my wife's going to do homemade raviolis. I didn't even know what a ravioli was. Now, I'm sorry, folks, but I said, my folks were country. They lived on the farm. They didn't do raviolis. They didn't do lasagna. They didn't do none of that. I didn't even know it existed at 19. Now, this is back in the 60s, so, you know, give me a little thing with my redneck story here. But we smelt this smell, and I'm thinking bad thoughts about maybe one of the children need to be changed. Isn't that terrible? Remember, I was redneck in my age. Finally, after about 4 hours, he said, man, it's done. There's a pile of raviolis, and this is going to blow you away. Well, when we got to the table, that's where the smell was coming from. Romana cheese. I had never smelt Romana cheese in my life. And I looked at them people and I said, I can't eat this. They sent out and got me Kentucky Fried Chicken. But now, back to my story. I live with an Italian. I love Romano cheese. I love any kind of Italian thing that's made almost. My wife is got it in her genes right from her grandmother, her mother, and now my sons have the same thing, and my daughter didn't get it. But my sons, they got that in their genes. And my wife, when we have food, I just say, Lord, ain't this good? She said, he didn't make it, I did. I said, but I'm telling him, thank you for giving me you to make this for me. Amen. See, too many times we're so absent from God by what's going on in our world, we can't let our life be expanded with God. Now, I've been all over the world, folks, and the things that I put in my body, sometimes I didn't have a clue of what it was. And I just say, Lord, sanctify it as it goes down and purify it if it's not. Now, God wants your life to be expanded. Now, let me finish with this thought. You can talk to God anywhere. Just like I'm sure a few of you probably been texting while I've been preaching. That, you know, I even see people talk on their phone in church now. Now, I'm not saying they should, or I just said I see it. But they're listening and they're talking, you know. You know what my wife did to me the other morning when I was preaching? I was preaching, I was anointed, and you know, my phone's on, obviously, and all at once a text popped up. And it was my wife. She said, I just love you so much. And here I am under the anointing, preaching the gospel, and my wife sitting down on the front row, sending me a text that she loves me. She knew my phone lit up, and she knew I glanced at it. So then what she did, she got some emojis and got some big old lips and sent me those big old lips. And I'm looking here. So I just told the congregation, I said, I got to take a break here for a moment. My wife is telling me how much she loves me. Well, you see, my point here is she lives with me. She lives with God. So why couldn't she talk to me and God at the same time? See, we're getting this wrong, folks, and I don't use the word wrong too often. We compartmentalize. We compartmentalize God instead of letting God live with us and us live with Him. We just see. I talked about my prayer time. See, sometimes we don't. It's not necessary that you pray a long time, but Smith Wigglesworth says, I don't pray a long time, but I don't go a long time without prayer. So, as I try to bring this to a conclusion, learn as you send, you know, some of you at work, you do Facebook, you do Instagram, you do LinkedIn, Snapchat, all the different things, and then you just go right on working, you know. And I see people everywhere now with phones and construction workers looking at their phone, then they'll work, and people doing things. I see people on ladders look at their phone. People go to the bathroom talking on their phone. This one guy's driving down the road. He stopped at one of those things on the highway, you know, the what you call it, you drive in and go into the restroom? Rest stop. So he went in and he sat down. And he said, when he sat down, all at once I heard a voice says, what you doing? And he thought, what a bizarre thing. I've never had this to happen in before. He said, well, I'm just traveling like you. And he said, this is weird, man. This is weird. Then he said, I heard the voice say, how you feeling? He said, I nervously said, well, I'm feeling fine. And then, you know, he asked him another question. He said, man, I got to get out of here as soon as I can. This is just too weird. Then he said, can I come over? He said, I cannot handle this. I'm getting out of here. So he heard now. The next thing was the guy said, I got to call you back later. Some idiot in the next stall keeps answering every question I'm asking you. Now, here was the person taking care of nature and their business, talking to somebody else, and then somebody else on the other side was listening. So my point is, if we can text people from work, if we can text them while we're in the mall, if we can do that, why can't we in the mall talk to God? Why can't we talk to God from work? Now, I got so much more, but I'm done. I'm done here today because I don't want to wear my welcome out. You're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. I just hope I bless somebody. So remember, when you start texting somebody, you can't text God, but when you get through the text, say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And you know, your coworker may be acting ugly because maybe they got hit with the ugly stick. And instead of letting them make you angry, you know, just bless them. And when you, as I said, when you go out today, you know, oh, I know what it's talking about. My grandson is coming back now, see? My grandson and my sons, you know, they went on to manage the big gourmet restaurants and was taught by famous chefs to be whatever. And but they did start out serving my grandson. They got another one right now going to school, and he's starting to do the same thing. And they said, Sundays is the worst day for tips. Sundays is the worst day for tips. I said, why? They said, because church people come in. Church people don't tip good. Uh-oh. If you live with God, you know, my son, my youngest son, he is one wild. He's probably wild as you, Dan. He just, no matter where he is, somebody's going to hear about Jesus. You know, he is at Home Depot, and he had three in the cashier line that he was praying for at the cashier line. He lives with God, not for God. So everywhere he goes, he takes God with him, and everywhere he goes, he shares God with people. See, why do we have to compartmentalize God to our prayer time or your church time? God shouldn't be I know the word, it's getting stuck. As you go out today, and as again, I don't want to major on this, but if you're there, maybe if you was going to do a little bit more. And this way I'll give you more opportunity to witness. We witness, you know, sometimes I go in and I sit down and I'll say, oh, here, I want to bless you before we get started. Whoa, how much are you going to order? I don't know yet. I hadn't looked at the menu. But this is just a starter. Somebody said, well, you got, again, mind your own business. You don't know what I got. But what I do have, I am generous with what I do have. I'm generous with what I do have. anything about these people. That's not my job. But I start finding out when I share something. As I said, sometimes I just sit down and I'll hand them a nice little gift. I say, here's your tip. I'm going to tip you in advance here. And then you do good and you may get a lot more. I tell you, I get good service everywhere I go. I very rarely get a grump that can't get over that tip that they just got. And sometimes when they don't, that gives me opportunity to show even more love. At the end, I'll say, you know, you may be having a hard time, I don't know, but I want you to know God loves you, and here's some more. Live with God, it'll show up in your conduct. When you live with God, it'll show up in your character. Everybody stand on your feet. I probably preached 4 messages today. But you're so, so awesome. I can't tell you enough. This is such an honor. I've been doing this for over 60 years now. But it's such an honor to be here this morning. I don't take it for granted. I don't take you for granted. God doesn't take you for granted, so don't take Him for granted. You've been so good to receive the altar call already, but is there anybody in here yet? We want to do it the second time. You may have come in late or you may miss the opportunity. Is there anybody here that say, Pastor Don, my life, my relationship is just not right with God, and I want to learn to do what you've taught us this morning. I want to learn to live with God, not for Him. Is anybody in here? You don't have to come down to the front. Anybody in here that wants that? Anybody? You want to learn to live with God? Anybody? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. If you're not, if your heart's not right with God and you miss the opportunity when Brother Dan prayed this prayer with all these wonderful people and these wonderful people took them out and shared with them, I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Now, you don't know what I'm going to say, but if you trust me, I won't lead you into saying words that won't add value to your life. I'll only lead you into words of prayer. And don't say it just because I'm asking you. Find it in your heart to fashion and frame your world with these words. Dear Lord, come on, out loud. Dear Lord, I thank you today that you love me. I thank you, Lord, that you live in my heart. Help me now, from this moment, to be more aware of your presence, of your voice. Help me, Lord, when circumstances come, when hurts come, when problems come, instead of the problem being bigger to me than you in me, let me see you bigger and bigger. Let my faith grow in that moment. Not to be overcome by the problem, but to overcome the problem by your word that's in my heart, that's in my mouth, by your spirit that lives within me. Help me, Lord, to guard my heart, to guard my mind, to guard my ears, so I won't offend you by my words by my thoughts, by what I hear. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you with all of my heart. Now help me to love my neighbor as myself. I want to ask you again, Lord, help me to love my neighbor as myself. Amen. Give Jesus a hand clap of praise. Oh, I love His presence. I love His presence. I love His presence more than anything in the world. I want you to go out of this room today. Remember, now, tonight I'm going to bring the chair and we're going to have an impartation. We'll give you a story about the chair. But I want you to go. And before we go, I want Brother Dan to come back up here. But I have compassion. I care for you. I'm not just a preacher. I'm not a preacher by title or by a pastor by title. I'm called of God to impart to you His goodness.
Awesome. Let's thank God for that word this morning. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Don. He was talking about loving your neighbor as yourself. My wife leaned over and said, "Hey, I'm your closest neighbor." I said, "That's right. I'm glad." I want you to get your offering ready. Two ways I want you to give.